Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Good afternoon. Welcome in. It's WEEI Afternoons. I'm Christian Arkin. Andy Hart is here as well. Not here, but you'll hear him. Just like you heard that from Evan Lazar yesterday, the take that launched the 1,000 ships. And also got scrubbed off of the Patriots.com website. A lot of scrubbing going on all over the place. Not just there. Maybe even a little bit right in here. As this thing has gotten way, as it's taken on an entire life of its own. Become bigger than the story now. I mean, listen, whatever you think of Lazar's take there, it was not something that I think was going to last all the way through the weekend, Andy. I don't know if you agree with that or not. But when I first heard that, we saw it. We talked about it. We even asked Curran about it yesterday. And I kind of just thought it was this throwaway thing that maybe the Patriots would have a problem with. Like, hey, don't talk about mutiny. Like, you're a team employee. Don't be saying that. Or something. But, like, not anything that they would take an eraser to like this and then make that the story. And now all of a sudden, I mean, everybody's got to address it. It's this whole thing. You heard Mayo talking about it today. Everybody's got to get questioned about it. It's become a much, much bigger deal than I think it ever would have been if they had just let it go and just let it die on the vine. But now here we are. And I think, Andy, that this puts a much more emphasis on this game this weekend, much more than there would have been otherwise. Now, this is a referendum not just on the Patriots and their season. I mean, I don't think anybody really thinks much of the season at this point. This is a referendum on Gerard Mayo. And can he keep this locker room together? Can he keep this locker room from completely imploding on itself? And that's what this weekend's going to be about. And it wasn't until Evan Lazar said that and the Patriots scrubbed it. Like, it's kind of amazing that it came to this.
Yeah, I don't have a great relationship with Evan Lazar, but I'm on his side totally here. He misspoke. He said a word he shouldn't have said. We talked about it yesterday. I thought mutiny was too far. Lose the locker room, fine. But mutiny, there's a certain implication, nefarious, like, oh, they're going after him. They want him out. You mentioned it.
He's going to walk the plank, yeah.
Right, right. But I still think, even with a poor word choice, and you and I both know, maybe better than most, that you can get emotional in this business. You start talking about things, and, you know, it can go off the rails, and mm-hmm. you say some things, whatever. Maybe you call your co-host an idiot or a dummy or something.
No, that doesn't happen ever.
No. No. But once you cover it up, scrub it, like, that just magnified the story, extended the story to the point where I was actually stunned when I clicked on Boston.com this morning and their little, like, top stories, number yeah. one. Was this, and it didn't need to be. Quite honestly, it shouldn't be, but you're no doubt you are right. This puts a greater they need a win. I thought, in a way, and I meant to say this earlier in the week, but then I'm like, no, it doesn't really make sense, you dumbass. Like, don't say it. But this feels like a must-win game all of a sudden, because A, I don't know how many times you're going to be favored, home, road, whoever the opponent is. You have an opportunity here. Maybe they don't even deserve to be favored, but they're indeed favored. And people are looking at this as a very winnable game for a team that has fallen on its face the last couple weeks on the road. And now you add this whole thing, which players are disputing. Karen Garigian, as she always does a good column, gets, you know, way false quote from a veteran off the record about Gerard losing the locker room. But I think this was created inside the walls of Gillette Stadium, and I don't mean by Evan Lazar
right.
doing a podcast. He said something. Okay, I lived that life for 20 years.
Yes,
was it dumb?
Did.
I would have heard it. I would have absolutely heard about it from multiple sources. I don't know what the ramifications would have been, but to scrub it? I mean, I think even today would have been easier for Gerard. If you don't scrub it, somebody at Andrew Callahan asks about it, and you say, listen, we all know what the NFL is. It's entertainment. All teams have web departments, video departments, podcast departments. We cover the team internally, and all these guys have opinions. And really, opinions are useless. I worry about the guys in my locker room. I worry about the guys in the football operations, and I've seen nothing to indicate I have anything to worry about. We're all doing our jobs under one craft umbrella. Like, that's all it needed to be. But when you scrub it, the last time I remember scrubbing was when Aaron Hernandez killed people. Like, that was a scrub. Like, photos gone, records gone,
yeah.
name, like, get rid of. To me, that's what scrubbing should be left for. Crimes, scandals, things of that nature. Not, did this guy say something on a podcast that he probably shouldn't have said as a team employee? Absolutely. And I'm sure he knew it shortly thereafter. But when you scrub it, you magnify it. And the cover-up is always worse than the crime. And
yeah.
now it feels, I didn't think there was a crime until I heard the cover up. And then I'm like, you guys really seem to be protesting this quite a bit here. Is there more here than I originally thought there was?
If hot takes are a crime, then we're in trouble. Like, that's kind of our business.
Then arrest me now.
And that was Lazar. I mean, listen, it was a hot take by Lazar. A mutiny in the locker room four weeks in. That's a hot take. I heard that, and we talked about it, and it seemed like a pretty big statement to make. Now, that's one guy's opinion. There's other people in the locker room. I hadn't heard a lot of other people saying that. And there's other people around there, other people who work for the Patriots and other people who work for other places and other outlets who were in the locker room and were there at the end of that Niners game and probably were witness to all that same frustration. I think it's important to make a distinction here, and you were just doing it a little bit, about a mutiny versus being frustrated after a loss. It wasn't just we lost and we're frustrated. Like, it was something more than that. If it was less than a mutiny, it was something more than that, at least, right?
Well, but a mutiny, again, I think it's like premeditated murder, not manslaughter. Like, you could kill this team from the inside by the locker room.
Yep.
There's no doubt in my mind that this team could fracture. And it was funny, because when I listened to Evan the first time, people accused me of talking fast. He's definitely a fast talker. He was. I was wondering if that was Brian speeding up the tape again like he did for us. But when he first said it, he was like, the offense is mad at the offense and the defense is mad at the defense. And I was wondering, did he mean the opposite? Did he mean defense? And then I was like, no, he's talking about Devon Godshaw saying, we are free. You know, we're
right.
Greedy. We're, you know, playing for ourselves.
Guys have been selfish, yes.
Right. The selfish nature of the offense, guys wanting the ball. And I was like, oh, yeah. So he's talking about the internal issues with each unit. Because usually, don't we worry about first and foremost is what we talked about last year. The defense is mad at the offense or vice versa, because
right,
one is doing their job and one isn't. And
right,
we'd be winning games if you jackals over there could finally start doing your job. He's talking about more that the units, but
when everybody sucks, there's
right,
nothing you can't get mad at.
We
the
all
other
suck.
Side, yeah.
We're all losing.
Right.
We've said, you know, special teams, you get your own bus. You guys go your own way. You seem to have done a pretty nice job for most of the year. The other two groups, you're on the loser's bus because you guys have led to losing. But I don't like, there's issues with this culture. You know, I know Tom Curran defended it earlier in the week to Jones and Keefe. The culture is finding its way. And I saw somebody on Twitter, and I'd like to credit them, but I can't remember who it was. So you know you were right, and you had a good point. But if your locker room is exploding in week four of the first season, it's not the coach. It's the people.
Right.
That means you have too many, like, bad guys, non-locker room guys. Because as Curran said yesterday, and I believe this, I've always believed this on all teams, in most businesses, most companies, the 80% in the middle is just going to kind of be the cows that roam one way or the other. And then you got the 10% that are good pulling in the right direction, the 10% bad, and you got to weed out the 10% bad and squash them. But if you're falling apart in week four, after, by the way, you Gatorade showered your coach in week one.
Right.
So it's really only 3 weeks later,
yeah,
and one of those was a winnable game. So really 2 weeks, 10 days, you're falling apart. Then you didn't create the roster, the culture, or the leadership crew, or anything like that that you thought you did, because that's really bad and really fast.
Yeah, it's very, very fast. It's a very quick drop-off. And it's funny, too, because usually when there's problems in a locker room, it's some guy's holding out and he's not getting paid, or, you know, something like that. There's none of that here. Everybody got paid. No one's waiting on some big contract and holding out and ruining it for everybody. Judon did for maybe a little bit, and they shipped his ass out of here. Now, that's not happening right now. You have a bunch of guys who are all paid and happy and probably, you know, some in some cases right now feel like they're stealing money a little bit with some of the performances you're seeing from these guys who got extended. But either way, that's not the case here. You're just looking at plain old frustration from a dysfunctional team that can't really get it together on either side of the ball, except special teams. Special teams, they're killing it. Other
yep,
than that, though, it has been a mess. Gerard Mayo, you mentioned this. He was asked about it today, and this was his reaction to the questions about the mutiny.
No, look, for our, you know, my focus is definitely on the Dolphins, 100%, and the guys in the locker room. So I haven't heard that, and I mean, that's journalism for you. I'm not sure.
But it's from the team, so I wanted to check with another team employee here.
No, like I said, like, I haven't heard that, and try not to pay attention to that stuff. So you got to ask him.
Does it feel like there's frustration in the locker room?
I mean, it's always frustrating when you're not winning. You know, the guys put a lot of work in, and everyone wants to try to find a solution right now while we're going through this transition. So, you know, people are definitely frustrated, and that's a normal human response.
Very okay, normal, very human, yes.
Can the Patriots.com Andy pop out for just a minute?
Sure.
When you say it's from the team, it isn't. And we all know it isn't. We all know that Evan Lazar is not on football staff, correct? He's not front office. He's not an assistant coach.
No.
He's not.
He's part of the team media network.
Kraft Sports Productions.
Yes, right.
He's a media guy. Mm-hmm. Evan Lazar is far closer to you and I than he is to Gerard Mayo or Elliot Wolf or Alex Van Pelt or whoever is scout, right?
Yeah.
And I get sensitive to that because I lived it for years that, oh, the team did it. No, I did it, you jackal, and I'm a reporter. I'm an analyst.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
I'm whatever you want to call me. The team didn't do it, and I think most people are well aware of that. They clamp onto it to create a story because they know they can. Oh, it's on Patriots.com. That's team produced. Like, oh my God. Well, it's not. It really isn't. It's a guy doing his job as a media member. There's a reason those guys enter the media room the same as all the reporters, and they don't come through the door where Gerard Mayo and Stacey James come from, because they work actually for the team. They are part of the team, football staff. The rest are not. They're part of the entertainment arm. And that kind of annoys me. Also,
well, Kraft signs the checks. I mean, let's not completely ignore that.
Sure.
Like, it's like Henry owning the Globe and sort of all these other things. There's an implication a lot of times. And I think especially when it comes to team media, like RedSox.com or Patriots.com, whatever it is, that it's going to be a little lighter on the tee. It's not going to be quite so critical.
And it usually
is. And it's generally how it is, yes.
Yeah. And again, I lived that life for years.
Right.
And I think that's why some people are like, oh my God, if he admitted it, it's 10 times worse than a mutiny,
right?
Because he would never admit it, because we have this perception that team media is going to be positive. Not even just team media, but by extension, I think people think our Red Sox coverage, for example, because we're a partner, or NBC Sports Boston's coverage, because their partner's going to be positive. And so that's where I agree with it. There is going to be a perception that if Patriots.com is saying a mutiny, we're teetering on a mutiny, then the riots have already begun and the coup has already begun. You know what I mean? Like that, it's got to be even worse than that, because they normally wouldn't say that. But again, I think you have to go back to, had it not been scrubbed, had it not been removed, I think most people, because that's the other thing.
So why did they scrub it then? Why did they feel, you know the people there, you know how they think. Why did they think that was such a bad thing?
Because it was a dumb thing to say and they didn't want it. But I think,
if that's a crime, you got to lock us all up.
Right. My guess is they regret it. My guess is they regret the step.
Guessing that too, yeah.
That they wish they could go back, because the other reality is it's out there. As that clip from their last scandal, the damage is done, my friend. Like, it's already out there. In this day and age, everybody has a recording, a screen capture. You can't scrub anything from the internet. It exists forever. So the reality, though, is I do think at the core, this team is teetering. I won't say mutiny, but I think it's teetering on falling apart, teetering on being much uglier than you would have possibly ever dreamed when that Gatorade was being dumped on Gerard Mayo a month ago, right? Like, I thought 0-17 was in play, and then I had to acknowledge the victory on week one. Now it feels like not only is 0-17 in play, you're like well on your way, right? Like, this feels far more negative than 1-3. No. I feel like 0-17 somehow is on the horizon, even though it's not possible. Even though it's not physically possible. You won a game. It doesn't feel like they won a game. They're teetering. They're teetering on something, and they feel it inside, and I think that's why they scrubbed it, because they do know it's such a critical juncture early in Gerard Mayo's tenure, and the culture and all of these things they've talked about is being questioned really, really quickly. It didn't go this bad for Matt Patricia in Detroit this quickly. It didn't go this bad for Joe Judge in New York this quickly. Didn't go this bad for Josh McDaniels. Kind of Denver went pretty bad.
They went like 7-0 or something to third.
But wasn't
year,
that after he had the disputes with Brandon Marshall and Jay Cutler? Got rid of him.
But then it looked like it was working. So
yeah, kind of went
then
bad,
it fell
and
off
then
after
he
that.
Salvaged. Yeah, and then it went really. But this is worse than we've seen of any other Belichick. Offshoots.
Yeah,
branches.
True. None of those other guys had to replace Belichick, though. They didn't have to come in for him. So I think that may have something to do with it.
Sure.
But really, I mean, listen, you're talking about a bunch of guys, and this was always the criticism about all the Belichick disciples, is that they go off to their new jobs and they try and act like Bill, and they didn't have any of the credentials to do it, didn't have the resume to do it, didn't have the aura to act like that, and the teams would tune them out. Mayo's not doing that. Mayo's doing the opposite of that, and it's going even worse. Yeah, you're right. I mean, like, we're only a month into this, and you – and listen, I don't know for sure that the locker room here is worse than Patricia's locker room was in Detroit or any of the other ones you just mentioned, because I wasn't there, and I don't know. And I know that none of those guys were super popular. I know that they all, I think, rubbed a lot of people the wrong way pretty quickly. And that's just, you know, based on reporting that came out, and some of it's probably exaggerated after the fact. But it's worth pointing out again, that is not what Jerod Mayo did here. Jerod Mayo didn't come in here and try to be Bill. He came in and tried to be the anti-Bill and do things considerably differently, and sometimes I think purposefully differently than Bill would ever think to do them. And yeah, it's so far not going well, but really what's not going well is the team sucks and they keep losing. And I think that this game this weekend, Andy, you said must win. I'm right there with you. And it's not must win for any sort of season football thing. It's must win for Mayo. It's must win for his culture, his plan, his message, all of that stuff. That's all on the table this week.
And it's doable. That would be the we couldn't call it a must win game if it was, I don't know, the 49ers coming to town, right? But the Dolphins, where they're at right now, not scoring points, historically bad offense through the first month of the season, no quarterback, all the things they're going through, including their own internal turmoil about Tyreek Hill having to answer questions if he still wants to even play for that team. And I think that's the big takeaway here. It's kind of simple, right? Losing is undefeated. It breaks you.
Right.
It breaks everybody. I don't care whether you're a bully.
Losing
I don't
is
care.
Undefeated.
Yes, it is. Right?
It's being a fortune cookie.
Right. Put yeah, it on a t-shirt. Fitzy will sell it.
But we
saw it break Bill Belichick last year. Losing broke him. Mm-hmm. It broke Mac Jones. And Bill Belichick's a great winner and stoic and all these things. But he was a hardo. And now we have the opposite personality. We have the open, smiling, young guy, everything. And it's crashing down around him, just like it crashed down around all those guys I listed, Patricia and McDaniels. And how you make decisions here is going to decide how long his tenure will be and how well he can steer this ship and avoid the turmoil and avoid walking the plank, to continue with Lazar's mutiny interpretation. So I don't think you can overemphasize how critical this game is. And you said it, not to finish 10 and whatever and make the playoffs or anything like that, just to right the ship. It's like they make these things called like sea keepers, that when a boat is rocking like crazy, you push a button and it's got like a gyroscope and it levels it out. They need one of those. They need to push a button for the gyroscope to just stop the boat from rocking so bad, because if it rocks any much more, it feels like it's just going to flip right over.
What if they like play a good game and lose? Is that even possible against this Dolphins team? Like, what if they go back and forth?
No.
It's kind of a high scoring game. The offense is running. They're actually scoring. Brissett looks okay. Maybe May gets in the game and they're scoring points, but they end up losing. Like, is there any way to salvage that?
No, because I think we'll be saying, why did the defense allow all these plays to an offense that couldn't get, you know what I mean? The Dolphins are playing so poorly right now. If you tell me the Patriots play well, so they run the ball, they play defense, they do things on their terms, there's some play action boots, the Patriots win the football game. Now, I don't know if they can do all of that. I don't know if they can tackle Hill and Waddle, right? That's the start of the game plan on defense. Make sure you don't let GTFB and don't let those guys make big plays. But no, there's no moral victories in this one. There's either a bad loss or a much needed win.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I agree. I mean, if May comes in the game and plays and looks okay, I think that could be the one thing that maybe gets people to sort of switch over, like a new topic. Maybe they do that. You know, maybe they're like, we need to change the subject here. We need to get people off this mutiny thing. Let's get May out there this weekend. I could see that. You talk about changing the narrative, that'd be a good way to do it. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Let's go to Ed in the car. He's got a thought. Go ahead, Ed.
Yeah, Jerod Mayo or Elliot Wolf, who walks the plank first?
I think Wolf. I think
Elliot Wolf is further down the plank just because of the left tackle thing.
Yeah.
Everybody seems to universally blame him for the roster. And remember, I did that poll the other day. Who do you blame for the early struggles on offense? It was the roster made by Elliot Wolf. Yeah, and it gets harder for him, too, without May playing.
Right.
Much of his offseason for last year, forget about what we think about left tackle or did you lose out on Calvin Ridley. If you get Drake May on the field, whether it's for, that's a great idea, by the way. Does this change Drake May in any way? Do they decide, we need a good feeling, we need a buzz, we need whatever, and all of a sudden in the third or fourth quarter, Drake May's on the field, despite reports that he's not ready to go because Get it out there. Make people look over here. Yeah. Tell them to stop worrying about all the other crap. But that's also Elliot Wolf's biggest asset for his. Did he have a good offseason? Well, if Drake May plays well and Drake May's the quarterback, Elliot Wolf is fine.
Right, because if May goes out there and sucks.
Then Wolf took another step down the plank. Now it's
mutiny,
bending.
The mutiny.
It's like bending.
You finally put in May. He's terrible. He gets destroyed. Like, yeah, that could be. That, it's always, we always talk about how no one ever talks about the possibility of May being good. Well, this is one of those weekends where if May does go out there and all the worry warts are like, oh, you can't put him behind the line. Oh, he's going to get killed out there. You do that and that happens. Then I don't know. I mean, I don't know how much further lower you could go because things are down at the bottom right now. You're bottom of the barrel type stuff with the Patriots here against the similarly bottom of the barrel Miami Dolphins team. In fact, Ross Tucker called it the battle for the basement, and yet the Patriots still favored by, I think, 1 point. I think it went from 1.5 down to 1 point. The over-under still 36.5. Hammer that under, I'm telling you. But, yeah, we'll get into why the Patriots are still favored in this game, which is amazing, and some updates to the offensive line that are certainly not good. We'll get to all of that right after Stiz tells you what's trending.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.